Welcome to the Appearance Radio with Augusto Perez. On today's Mailbag Show, we'll be discussing prophetic current events, answering your questions, sharing praise reports, and praying over your prayer requests. We'll also be taking communion after the music break. Now, here is Augusto.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio Mailbag Show. I am Augusto Perez, and shalom. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, the year of our Lord. We're going to bring you the latest in headline news, commentaries, analysis, as we see it through the eyes of Bible prophecy and the word of the Lord. Well, where should I start today? Let's see. We got quite a number of things that are making the rounds in the news cycle, but there is something here I wanted to touch on, which is kind of set the table for maybe other things that we're going to talk about this first hour, where we cover the news. I was reading this and it caught my spirit, and when something catches my spirit, I just stop and I read it carefully. Because that is how I operate. That's in my experience. That is how the Lord, shows me things and talks to me and deals with me about things. And this particular article happened to, it came out yesterday, and it was about a mysterious foul smell resembling sulfur or burnt rubber that was reported in Finland's capital, Helsinki. Now, That whole region there is very, very dark, very, very dark. And recently, according to the article, Finland joined NATO and security on its Russian borders was reinforced on both sides to put more pressure on bilateral relations. And the Finnish foreign minister, Elina Valtonen, did not rule out sending Western troops to Ukraine in the future during an interview with a British newspaper, Financial Times. So she said, at the moment, there is no need, but the escalation is evident. So I was wondering about the foul smell, that foul sulfur smell. I have smelled that before. And those that have been involved in deliverance ministry have smelled that before. And it is not a very pleasant smell. It is very, very foul. And it does smell like sulfur and sometimes like burnt rubber. It's horrible. And as I was reading this, it just kind of caught my spirit that this region, this area, it seems like the vortices of hell, the gates of hell have opened, and not just there, in many parts of the world it is opened. It has opened over Washington DC. It has opened over certain areas of the world. It seems like the gates of hell have opened. And I don't know if you guys remember that this was happening like a year, maybe a year, year and a half ago, something like that. This strange anomaly appeared over the White House, over the Capitol. And nobody knew what it was. Some people started saying that it was a portal that had been opened. Not a good one. It was kind of reddish, kind of yellowish, reddish, ominous looking thing. This guy right over the Capitol, right over the White House. And, different anomalies like these have been happening in recent years. And so it does appear to me, anyways, that the gates of hell have opened in many parts of the world, and they are continuing to open. And that does not catch me by surprise, because, again, I was warned about this a few years ago. I was warned about this a few years ago. When I was taken somewhere, for the sake of time, I'm abbreviating, this is posted on our website under Dreams and Visions. But I was taken somewhere, and I saw that there were huge holes being opened into our realm. And some of them were just cracks, some of them were small holes, and some of them were gaping holes. And the bigger the hole, the more of these demonic entities could cross over into our realm. And I saw a lot of activity in the angelic realm trying to stop it. And I was helping. I was involved in it. And then, you know, one of the angels told me basically, you know, soon we will not be able to contain them. And I was surprised to hear that. I was very surprised to hear that from the angel of the Lord, because normally, you know, and here is where it gets really sticky, if you will. Okay, a lot of Christians, you know, they have a mindset, they have this belief system that you know, that everything is fine, and the angels of the Lord have everything under control, and you know, and all this stuff. But that is not always the case. That is not always the case. And so many times Christians fall under the false assumption that just because Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave at the cross, that everything is already won. And, you know, we got this thing licked. And then, you know, there's no need to fight. There's no need to battle. I have even heard ministers preaching this on TV. There's no need. The war is over. I have seen this. I have heard these teachings from very famous preachers, which I am not going to mention. And so this is the notion that a majority of believers are under. And I'm just sharing this. You know, it's a big old, I said all that, okay? I know this is a news program, but I said all that to kind of reiterate this article that I saw about the foul smell. And it struck me. It struck my spirit. And I just wanted to set the table, because we'll be covering a lot of ugly things that are happening right now.
Well, I hadn't heard that one yet. You throwed me a new one on that one. But I do remember the deal over Washington. That happened a couple of times, if I remember right. And there has been, if you want to call it openings, you know, in other locations. We know there's a spiritual warfare going on. And the sad part about the church is most of the church are not engaged. I mean, they just simply are not engaged. I don't know. You know, it could be still, you know, just apathy. They just don't care. Or it could be that they're so deceived by their pastors saying it's already been taken care of that they don't realize what's about to spill into their, I guess you could say, their lap, if you want to put it that way. We're about to see things we never even could have imagined. And it's just sad that so many of God's people just simply not ready.
Yeah, when Augusta was speaking there, I thought of the scripture that says that we are to pray without ceasing. And why would the Lord tell us to do that if we didn't have to worry about praying, that the war is already won? You know, no problem. You don't have to really do anything, as many preachers are preaching. But we're supposed to be praying without ceasing, because prayer will change things. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's another scripture. So why would the Lord say this if prayer wasn't really something that was necessary? I think most Christians don't give much importance in their life to remaining in prayer, or spending a good amount of time every day in prayer. This is very important, extremely important, and they just don't get it. So that's why a lot of this evil has been able to overtake us in this country, because of the lack of prayer, the lack of intercessors joining together and praying against these evil things. It's really a shame to see this happening, but, you know, the Lord can only do so much. He relies greatly on our prayers. He's given us free will on this earth, and only through intercessory prayers by Christians can he intercede and do things for us, rebuking and pushing back evil. But if there's no prayer going on, then he pretty much can't do much at all.
Well, there's another piece of news that I wanted to touch on that adds to, you know, the premise that I started out with. And this one is about Colonel Douglas McGregor is warning that an attack on Iran would cause World War III and mass migration. Now, after I read that, excuse me, I also read the other piece of news that Iran, now, of course, Iran was attacked by Israel, and Israel knocked off its top general and some of its top military leaders in an airstrike on an Iranian consulate, according to the news. And Mohammad Reza Zahiri, Iran's top general in the Quds force of the IRGC, was killed, along with his lieutenant and several other high-ranking officers, according to Reuters. So now, after this happened, Iran is vowing revenge. Is vowing revenge on Israel. And this was exactly what Colonel Douglas McGregor was warning about, that this could cause World War III, as if already there was not enough cause for World War III. And so there is a lot there. I didn't have an opportunity to check all the McGregor said, Colonel McGregor said. But according to the news on this other news about the attack on Iran by Israel, Israeli warplanes bombed Iran's embassy in Syria on Monday, yesterday, in a strike that Iran said killed seven of its military advisors, including three senior commanders, that marked a major escalation in Israel's war with its regional adversaries. So there you go. This is going to really escalate things now in the Middle East, as if that was not already hot. Now it's red hot. And do not be surprised if soon you're going to see some tactical nukes being used in that part of the world.
Well, that is true. Hal Turner put it out, and it was was able to vet it. Israel bombs Iranian ambassador's residence on Iran's embassy ground in Damascus. And, of course, you reported killed in the Israeli attack was Iran's Quds Force commander, Mohammad Zahedi. He's of the Revolutionary Guard Corps. And at the same time, we've got more and more trouble, surrounding if you want to just go ahead and call it a war that Israel is having, because Hezbollah and Lebanon are firing rockets or missiles almost every single day into northern Israel. They're still having Gaza attacks. And of course, there appears to be a move by Netanyahu to soon. They've already bombed Rafah somewhat, but to actually go into Rafah. So, it's a powder keg, if you will. At the same time, we've got the same powder keg in Ukraine. And you mentioned earlier, talking about, the border states, if you will, the Baltic states and that region of the world aligned against Russia. And it seems like the West is more than willing. Let me put it that way. They seem more than willing to go to war with Russia. And as Russia has said, it will be a war nobody wins. And, of course, that's very true. And on the other hand, Taiwan is getting hotter and hotter by the day. China is encroaching more and more. And, it's just powder keg after powder keg. North Korea also is threatening the South and vice versa. And, it doesn't take but just one shot sometimes to set off a big war. So I don't know. It looks like the West, especially America, the government, the deep state government and the Biden administration, the communists, they want a war. And it doesn't appear that really the American people are in a position really to stand up and say, we don't want a war. We don't want a war with Russia. There again, here I am back, you know, saying the same thing over and over and over, expecting a new outcome, and that's insanity. But the American people just seem to be going along with this Western demise, if you will. And when I say demise, you mentioned earlier tactical nukes. This next war is not going to be fought with just missiles and bombs. It's going to go beyond that. But I guess the West doesn't seem to care.
Yeah, I think the thinking of a lot of people is we couldn't possibly go to war because every country practically has nuclear weapons. And if we were to go to war with one another, then, of course, we would be using those nuclear weapons and just wiping one another out. What insanity. So I think a lot of people don't believe that we can go to war because they know the results of it would be horrific. So it sounds like Israel is doing everything they can to get a war started, as if what they've already done hasn't been enough. And you have all these people that want to start a war, the people, the billionaires and the millionaires that figure, well, I'm going to be okay. I'll go to my bunker and let all the countries up on the surface destroy one another, and then we'll come up and I don't know if they'd want to come up or not because everything will be gone by then if there was to be a worldwide nuclear holocaust. So I think that method of thinking is a little ridiculous.
Well, the problem is that we are living in a world of computers and video games and Hollywood. And all of these things have taken a life of its own, which basically what it means is that what they say is more real than reality. In other words, they are projecting the mainstream media and all these things are projecting a fantasy world, a pseudo world, another world that does not exist. In the real world where we live in, when the reality hits, it's when people realize, this is really bad. And then it hits home, and it hits their pocketbooks, and it hits their health, and it hits the reality of their homes and their families and all of these things. And then for the first time, they are aware of how bad things really are getting and how bad things really are. And so this is one of the things that is the it's the normalcy bias. It's called a normalcy bias. But people soon are going to have an encounter with reality, sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. Now, there is also another piece of news here that came out March 31st, 2 days ago, that warning us that ISIS could slip through the U.S. border and carry out Moscow-style attack. A U.S. official is warning. This came out on the New York Post on March 31st. So the ultra-violent offshoot of the Islamic terror group is growing bolder, which is ISIS-K. It's called ISIS-K. It's growing bolder, and its members may try to take advantage of the chaos at the U.S.-Mexico border. So a lot of these people are here in the U.S., and this man that is presently in the White House, right, O'Biden, he is doing everything that he's been told by those that are above him, those that are his puppeteers, even though he denies it and they deny it. That is exactly what is happening. And so there are a lot of these suspects now inside the United States, and this thing is getting. Worse and worse by the day. This thing is taxing our infrastructures, is taxing everything. It's taxing everything. I went to dump the garbage the other day, a couple of days ago, and the bins were all full. They were all filled. I mean, overflowing. And I told the man, I said, we need, I said, do you notice that the bins are full? I said, all of them. I said to him, you know, we need more bins here, at least two more garbage bins. And then he looked at me and he says, that's not my concern. And I looked at him with a shocked, I guess must have been a shocked expression in my face, like, it's not your concern. And then I said, I'm going to call them, you know, the people here, you know, the city, to let them know. And he says, it's not my concern. He says, they haven't told us anything. I haven't heard anything. So, and this is the attitude. I just said that, you know, I'm not trying to condemn the man or anything. I'm just, or criticize the man. I'm just saying this is the attitude of the majority of people today. It's not my concern. And maybe it is because the coldness of men's hearts, like Jesus said, was going to happen in the end times. There was going to be a coldness of men's hearts. The love was going to, you know, the love of many would wax cold, and because of the wickedness and the evil. So that is also true. That is also happening. The other aspect is that a lot of people are under such a stress themselves, under such continuous bombardment. I can say amen to that, as I know many of you out there can say amen to that, without getting into details, because I don't want to bore you. And anyway, there's not much anybody can do, but we are under constant bombardment, and it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And all we can do is, like Chuck said, is step up the prayer, step up the prayer, and become aware of the fact that we are in a war, we are in a battle, and this is not going to relent. And this thing is it's like the saying goes, that it's going to be to the last one that remains standing when it's all over, to be able to make it through this, to be able to make it and remain standing. And like the word says, and stand, and having done all, stand. When you have fought the good fight of faith, when you have taken up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, you put on the belt of truth, you put on the sandals of peace, and you've done all you can do, then the word of God says, you stand. You stand. That means stand in the faith. And just hold on and stand. And by the grace of God, we'll make it through all of this.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Recently, on March the 21st, 2024, Glenda Lomax came out with a word. She puts out a blog called Just Praise Him. But she put out a blog. I posted it a couple of times. I don't know if you guys read it or not, but I put it on my Substack, and I also put it on my regular blog. A very interesting word, because it was titled Unexpected Events. And this was March the 21st that this word came out that she received from the Lord. And it basically said the Lord was trying to prepare his people and gird them up for some coming unexpected events that the Lord would use in a way that it would help protect his people, and that his people needed to use patience and ride this out and trust him. Now, that's her word. That's what she said that she got from the Lord. But I find it really interesting, because the headline was Unexpected Events. And then suddenly, about that same time, what did we see? We saw the Francis Scott Key Bridge, Baltimore, Maryland, come crashing down. And, you know, I'm not putting a good face on that, or a bad face on that. I'm just saying it's an event nobody thought would happen, but we're even finding more and more details behind the scenes that it was more than an accident, basically. And of course, the deep state and our government doesn't agree with that, but that's just too bad. But oddly enough, I saw on March the 31st, 10 days later, after she put out Unexpected Events, listen to this headline from Hal Turner, Covert Intel, March 31. China warns citizens inside the USA, prepare for various unexpected situations. Now, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist particularly, but I do dig into a lot of facts, and I do dig into a lot of connections, and I look behind the scenes on things. And in my spirit, it just kind of popped in that, oddly enough, this seemed like and I know China wouldn't actually come out and say amen to a word Glenda Lomax said the Lord gave her. However, the headline seems to just say just that. But it says, China warns citizens inside the USA, prepare for various unexpected situations. Mysterious warning to the Chinese in America. Take all safety precautions and be prepared for various unexpected situations. And then Hal Turner made the comment, is this a warning to the Chinese in the USA, or is it a signal? And I think that's very, very important. The American people just hadn't woke up yet to the fact that we're being totally overrun. And it's not just migrants. It's illegal migrants, and it's illegal terrorists that are pouring into our country like a sieve. They're coming across our northern border. They're landing on the East Coast. They're landing, I hear now, by ships on the West Coast. They're pouring in across the border, southern border. And now many, many people, you mentioned McGregor. There's been, I can just count on my fingers, a number of really, really important in the know people that are warning we're about to receive another terror attack worse than 9-1-1, along with, according to the information, a lot of attacks, and you mentioned it, Augusto, along with attacks like the Moscow-style attacks. And the American people mindset is just oblivious, absolutely oblivious. But I suppose, and this is just me, I suppose when you see thousands of dead Americans laying in the streets and blood running into the ditches, you know, men, women, children, old and young, laying dead, you might have what Augusto mentioned earlier as a reality check, but that's just me.
Yeah, that and seeing Chinese and Russian military vehicles rolling through our streets in America, that will wake up a lot of people, I think. But yeah, we're going to be getting more terrorist attacks. We've had just probably millions of Chinese men, young men, military age, coming in, and you know that they're going to rendezvous somewhere. They'll get a phone call on those free cell phones they were given to go to a certain spot or certain places to be picked up and taken to a place where they'll find their weapons and their uniforms and military vehicles and everything. And before we know it, here we have Chinese and Russian troops and maybe Iranian troops, too. We don't know yet. I think Iran's going to be a part of it. We will start to see these vehicles rolling through the streets in America. And, man, is that ever going to be a shocker.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading also this other article from the Independent Sentinel, that 90% of the people coming illegally fly into Florida and Texas. You know, the Biden administration has been flying these people directly into the nation. And guess where he's been flying them into? Well, wouldn't you believe it? Florida and Texas. He really hates those two states. And so Todd Bensman found out that 90% of them are being flown into Florida and Texas, the two states rebelling against unvetted illegal immigration. I mean, this is so evil and so wicked that, you know, that he's doing this. It's like saying, oh, so you're rebelling against me? I'm going to show you. This is the attitude of a despot. This is the attitude of a dictator. This is how dictators operate. This is how they react. They don't gather around the table to talk to the to the governors of those states and say, okay, what is the issue? You know, let's try to fix. No. It's my way or the highway. Either you accept what I'm telling you to do, or I'm going to force it down your throats, or worse. This is what we're seeing. If you out there still do not see this, then I don't know what to tell you. A recent interview that JF Kennedy Jr. had with CNN, and he said exactly that. He said he was asked about Trump and this and that, and he just came out and said it straight out. He said, Biden right now is way more dangerous than Trump ever was. He says, all Trump did was question the election results. And this man, he has weaponized every government agency to control and to impose his will on the people. I mean, he just laid it out there. He went on to say that he has not been given security protection, and on, and that Joe Biden has literally weaponized the federal government against his political opponents and those that do not agree with the ideology of the status quo government right now. And so, I mean, pray for this man, because he's out there, and they're saying now that he's going to take a lot of votes away from a Biden because of these things that he's saying. And so, you know, he needs prayer. He needs covering. And there's a lot of other things that are happening, even as we're doing this program. If DeSantis is listening, or one of his people is listening, which I think he's got people listening to this program, DeSantis, you got to get on top of this right now. You got to stop these illegal flights coming into Florida, because they are putting these people in areas and they're hoping that they're going to try to affect the elections, break the infrastructure of Florida, and all kinds of things. And just to give you an idea, the people coming in, okay, according to Todd Benzman, those airlines that are flying directly to the city of their choice, they are processing to let go. And here is, just a figure, top receiving OFOs, Miami, 326,000. Second is Houston with 21,964. Third is Los Angeles with 8,382. San Francisco, 4,578. And then Atlanta, Boston, Baltimore, Chicago. It's incredible. It's incredible that they're doing this to Miami and to Houston. And those two cities, pretty soon, they're not going to be able to handle it.
Well, that's going to be the dangerous part, whether they get a signal to rise up or they just choose to begin to rise up on their own, and we begin to see the terror attacks. Because, listen, I was part of the thin blue line, if you want to call it that, in law enforcement for a number of years. And that line, when the line is good and strong, as it was, years ago, it's still thin. You know, when you've got a police force of, you know, in small towns, a police force of two or three, and in larger towns, a police force of four or five, and then you get into the bigger cities, you begin to have a police force of 10, 20, 30, and then, like, I worked for Fort Worth for a number of years. I was a cop there, and it was like 1,000 cops were there. But then in the bigger cities, you've got millions of people, like the DFW Metroplex is millions. Houston's millions. And, you know, places like Minneapolis and, you know, such as that, you know, Chicago and New York, the thin blue line is almost non-existent to that point in some of those cities. And the people don't realize that. I know everybody's in a mindset. We've been trained. We've been trained over the years. Dial 911. That'll fix everything. Well, when they're on your front porch or they're in your yard headed for the front door, let me assure you, and I was a cop for years, 911 won't cut it, okay? Because these bad people, and there's plenty of evil and bad out there now on our doorsteps, when they choose to do their wicked deeds, it don't take 3 to 5 minutes to do it and be gone. Well, there's a lot of comfort in the police showing up a few hours later and writing a report, if they even do that. But I'm just saying, one of the interesting things on the War Room, historian Roger Kimball made a comment, and he said this is what he finds now that the American people should realize. He said, Washington, and I'm a quote, Washington has become the government of only one party, and the Democrats and the RINOs are that party. So thus, they corrupt and rule America. Well, we're there, folks. We're really there. And then, of course, Todd Benzman on April the 1st, he really gave a lot of information on the War Room and basically said, and his data, a lot of it was from CISI, U.S. government using Delta Airlines to fly in thousands of illegal migrants into Florida airports directly as an assault on the state of Florida. Also, U.S. government is flying in thousands into Houston, Texas in mass migration of illegals. This is moving the ball from borders to just now flying in thousands of illegals into the USA, especially Florida and Texas. And then Todd Benson did note, though, and we're not here to the mainstream news, you know, after the problem Texas had on their border with the National Guard being overwhelmed, says Texas forces now have begun firing pepper ball weapons at illegal migrant crowds trying to breach the Texas border. You know, this is not going to continue without ramping up. I mean, this is just simply not going to continue. I know people think, well, it's went this long. Well, keep thinking that, okay? Keep thinking that. But knowing human nature like I do and knowing the situation like I do to some degree, this is not going to continue as was. It's going to escalate. It's going to escalate quickly. And it appears right now that Florida and Texas has a greater enemy, really, than the illegal migrants pouring into those states. And that enemy is Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just going to get worse. It can't go any other direction but worse. And one of the things that's in the news right now that's very grievous is what is happening in Haiti. And I believe we're going to see the same thing happening in America. It is absolutely out of control there. Armed armed gangs are now roaming the streets. You know, I don't know what the police are doing over there or what kind of a police force they have, but it is absolute chaos over there. And I saw one report where some politician in Washington, and I don't know who it was, I never saw him before, said that the United States was not in the process of considering the evacuation of Americans from Haiti. What? You've got this going on in Haiti? It's extremely dangerous. And, of course, Washington is just sitting back and, you know, waiting for what, I don't know, before they decide they're going to start trying to evacuate Americans over there. It's unbelievable. I'm certainly glad I'm not there. It is a war zone there, and it's extremely dangerous. People are being killed by these gangs. I feel sorry for Haiti. They are at the bottom of, you know, they can't go down anymore. The only place to go is up, and I would like to see that happen. Although a lot of Haitians are trying to escape the country by going across the border to the Dominican Republic. Which, you know, that's an island, and it's half Haiti, half Dominican Republic. But the Dominican Republic is going after them and stopping them and then returning them to Haiti. So people are trying to get out of there, but there's not much of a chance of escaping what's going on. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And a lot of these gangs there in Haiti, they're vicious. Some reports are saying they're even cannibalistic. I mean, this thing is devolving into the Mad Max scenario, which is a movie I never saw. I never watched it. I don't watch that. But I did read the reviews and I did see small clips. And a Mad Max scenario has become a cliche word now. But looking at other news, now there's a lot of Texas counties that have issued emergency declarations ahead of the solar eclipse, April 8th. And April 8th is just a few days away, is next week. And so you know, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens then. But it doesn't look like it looks like it's going to be quite an emergency there in some of those states. Of course, Texas is going to have this the solar eclipse coming right through it, passing right through it. And a lot of people are going to be out there watching and so forth. But it says here a massive area of Texas declares state of emergency. One of them is Bell County, has a population of 400,000. It's preparing for an influx of thousands of visitors. And also Dallas, the same situation. And there are other places in Texas that are experiencing the same thing and have issued the same, declared the same state of emergency. Now, again, I'm hearing this quite a bit, a lot, about the different parts of the country issuing a state of emergency regarding this eclipse. And I mean, I don't know. So many things happening. There are all other areas also, like I was reading Niagara Falls, Canada, declared a state of emergency for the coming solar eclipse, April 8th. And a lot of people seem to be interested in watching this thing. And so they're flying over there. other places are Travis County, Texas, Kaufman County, Texas, and other areas there in Texas. And one other thing here before we go for the break, top of the hour break, there is a map, a chilling map of the U.S. showing the areas most at risk of being targeted in a nuclear, Holocaust. And so we're going to post this map. We're going to post it. It's really very, very telling. I'm not going to say. I'm just going to post it. You're going to see where these areas are, and they're going to be targeted in nuclear war, most likely, they said. So as this situation intensifies, people need to be aware of these things. One other thing is there is a massive solar flare heading our way, supposed to be arriving today or Wednesday. And I know you've been keeping track of that, Larry, so I'll turn it over to you for final comments before the top of the hour, and then Chuck.
Well, I'm actually not aware of a solar flare headed our way. I've received a number of emails from people wanting to know why I hadn't posted anything about an X1.1, et cetera, et cetera. And those flares that occurred were on the far right corner of the sun, about to go around behind the sun. That effect where they swing at that point where they can swing over and come towards Earth did not happen. There was, flare, CME, none of that. Even the solar radiation didn't swing over and move towards Earth. So I'm not aware. I know everybody's got it up. I know everybody says that, I'm overlooking something, but from the data that I've gleaned from most of the sources that I watch closely, and I subscribe, and it's not free. I subscribe to sources that have to deal with the sun, and all of those are not putting out the alert. And so I'm just going to say, as far as I'm concerned, that was kind of over the hill. We're having geomagnetic storms, but we're not having a dangerous solar flare attack that I'm aware of, okay? And if I'm not aware of it, I would have to say probably it's not going to happen. But if it does, you can say, well, he didn't know what he's talking about. Fine with me.
Let me just share real quick, Larry, where I got that info. It's from the Hall Turner. He said he came from the Solar Astronomy Laboratory of the Institute of Space Research of the Russian Academy of Science, that they recorded this. So I'm just going by what he said there.
Yeah, as I said, the flares did occur, and one of them was it was a X1.1, and that was followed later within 24 hours of a M9.4, which is basically an X, and then following in a few hours was an M3.4. But as I say, the occurrence was on the sunspot, and it was the one that's been causing all the trouble. It was on the far end of the sun, about to go around the rim to face way away from Earth, actually the other side of the sun, and that takes 2 weeks to circle around back to Earth again. So all the data I read from Space Weather and NOAA says that the effect that people thought would occur, because it's a sensitive area, and that flare could spiral and thereby spiral back to Earth, and that did not happen. All the data I'm getting from Space Weather and NOAA says it did not happen. The flares happened, but the earthward movement did not happen. So, you know, that's all I can say. But also I wanted to mention something real quick, and this is just a caution. I know I've got to be gone during the next hour, but I just wanted to give people a caution, okay? I've got my conspiracy theory hat on, and it's aluminum foil. I made a hat out of it, and I put it on, so I'm going to give you this caution. Take it for what it is. Pray about it. But I know, and that flare, that ex-eclipse will come over where I'm living. I mean, I'll see a full, I won't see it because I'm not going to look directly at it, but that will come right over a full eclipse over where I live. And this portion of Oklahoma, southeast Oklahoma, and it'll go on up across the country. But this is the caution I want to deliver to people. I don't know if you've checked. I have. This flare is very dangerous to your eyes. I want people to know that. If you walk out there without proper protection and you look at this sun, even though it's shadowed, you will ruin your eyes. Okay, with that being said, and me wearing my little tinfoil hat, I have checked. I went on Amazon and other areas, and I've checked for all the glasses that I could find, or the little paper glasses, the rim, you know, plastic glasses and other glasses. And all of those you can order, even up to $60, $70, $80, $90. Guess what? They're all made in China. Go look for yourself. They're all made in China. So this is just me. This is Larry Taylor talking. This is not a NASA operator. I would not trust anything made in China specifically for this event, because it's very plausible, and China has unique ways to attack. It's very plausible that after this solar event and everybody using glasses or things over your eyes made in China, you'll have a lot of blind people after this event.
Oh, man, that is amazing. Well, the best way to look at the eclipse safely is get yourself a magnifying glass and, have the image of the sun coming through the magnifying glass on a piece of white paper. But you have to focus it properly so that it isn't a pinpoint. Otherwise, it'll just burn right through the paper. And just make it big enough, you know, adjust the distance between the magnifying glass and the paper, and you can see the eclipse just fine without threatening your eyes with something that might cause you to go blind. That's good advice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good advice. Now, having... I just wanted to add before we go on the break that the only safe way I know of looking at the sun directly without hurting your eyes is using a soldier's glass. And I don't know if you can get them here in the United States, like Larry said, they're probably made in China. I got one, and they're pretty expensive. I got one when I was in Ecuador some years ago. For 68 cents, 68 cents I bought. It's pretty thick, and I mean, you can put that in front of your eyes there, and you can look at the sun, and there, you're going to be able to see everything about it and everything around it without hurting your eyes. That's the only thing that I know of that you can use safely, and because that's what solders, they used to, to work on those and the lights that they have to be exposed to when they're doing that job. So anyways, be careful. Take care of your eyes. Once your eyes are gone, they're gone. Well, we're going to take a short break. Thanks, Larry, for being with us in the first hour. And thanks, Chuck. We're going to return with Chuck the second hour with a mailbag show. Get your elements ready. And we'll be right back after this short break.
James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above,
and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Job 1:20-22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Ezekiel 5:16. When I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread. 2 Chronicles 7:13-15. If I shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place.
Yeah.
Welcome back. If you got your Bibles, we're going to open them to the first book of Corinthians, chapter 11, and we're going to read a portion of scripture there, and it's as is our custom. And trust you got your elements ready. And in times like this, excuse me, in times like this, especially, it is very comforting to gather around the table and have communion with the precious saints all over the world. And such a beautiful thing. I get the mail from people write to me from places up in Africa, places up in and east of us to, you know, the Middle East. Also to the south of us, to countries of Central and South America, Canada, Australia, Europe, many places in Europe, that it's such a joy to be able, and many other countries that I did not mention. And if I did not mention, it's not because you're not important. It's just because there's so many, I forget sometimes. And of course, the precious lambs here in the United States. And it's such a beautiful thing to gather together and have communion. So if you got your elements ready, let's go ahead and do that. And let's read in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so, let's go ahead and take a moment to examine ourselves. And then when we come back, we're going to partake of communion together. Praise God, praise God. Father, we just bless now these elements that we are about to partake. We bless them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we lift them up to you. And we bless them. We ask that every person that is receiving communion with us today be touched, be blessed, and be healed. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask you, Father dear, that you would cause this moment to have an impact in the lives of so many that are out there who are going through a rough time. They're destitute. Some of them people are being hit hard, Father. Some of them are going through severe trials and tribulations. Their health, their finances, their family. Oh, Father, we ask that you would succor them, and that you would intervene. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the body of Christ. Thank you, Father. We receive, Lord, a healing. We receive the healing from your hand, Master. By your stripes, we were healed. You sent your word. Your word became flesh and healed us. Thank you, Master. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. After the same manner, he also took the cup. After he had eaten, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As we partake of the fruit of the vine, let this fruit of the vine, Father, symbolized in the blood of Jesus, cleanse us, wash us from all sins, trespasses, and iniquities in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory, Father. Give you praise and we give you glory. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go ahead and open our mail back now at this time. We have a mail here from Thea.
Chuck, this thanks. Came after I had just completed a 23-day fast, Brother Augusto. This came after I had just completed a 23-day fast. It was of the Lord. I wanted to share with you what I believe the Lord has revealed to me. His word is our plumb line, Amos 7:7-9. After I completed an elongated time of fasting and prayer, the day following on Saturday evening, September 4, 2021, between 10 o'clock and 10:30 p.m., I was in my prayer room. I had just finished reading the word and intercession when all of a sudden I was in a vision. I knew I was awake because I could hear my husband taking our dog outside. This was such an intense interactive vision. To my right, a violent hurricane had surrounded my whole being. It was huge and horrendous. The wind, the dark clouds engulfed the whole room. I was in the center of it. Now at the same time, to my left coming from the northern side was a huge locomotive train barreling towards me at an intensely high speed as if out of control. I could not see anyone inside driving. All I could see was this massive engine. It looked like old school Conrail train of black iron. There was a demonic presence surrounding and moving within both the train and the hurricane storm. The train and storm were about to collide with me, sandwiched between in the center. I started to say out loud, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of the Lamb. I did this about 3 or 4 times. There was a tangible spirit of fear in the room. I felt the way I felt while watching the planes crash into the buildings in NYC on 9-1-1. I then heard a voice behind me say very clearly, you are in the eye of the storm. There was a hush and an overwhelming peace. It was the Lord Jesus behind me. He had his hands on my shoulders to comfort me, and then the storm and the train began receding back and disappeared like holograms into little particles. Since this open vision, I have been seeking the Lord about it. The storm represents a storm is upon us. The storm is a picture of judgments of God from nature upon America. The train of iron represents man-made calamities. The two were going to collide at the same time. But those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91:1, 9-1-1. On Wednesday, September 1, 2021, during my prayer time, I received a word from the Lord. America has just begun her walk up the Via della Rosa with Jesus Christ. This must happen in order to bring her to corporate repentance. we are only at the beginning and that we will have to walk the path fully to the cross. It must be done this way to humble us and bring us back to the Lord's original intent for our country. We are a prideful, stiff-necked people much likened to Israel. The Lord loves us too much to continue to leave us to our own rebellious ways. We were purposed to be a sheep nation, a place of refuge. We are now on the path towards the cross. If we respond and cry out to the Lord and repent from our ways, we will experience a resurrection with Jesus as Lord. No cross, no resurrection. The Lord is sovereign and He is totally involved in what is now happening in this country. He is exposing the spiritual infection that has infiltrated every area of government, education, economy, social, and the church. The spiritual warfare is incredible and will increase. This is why this ministry and all intercessory prayer ministries will continue to bear the brunt of the warfare. We must never stand down before the enemy. Our prayers are working towards the defeat of the enemy's hold over America in preparation for an outpouring of the reign of God's glory. Thank you for being faithful in this ministry. God bless and protect you and all the intercessors and the remnant. We truly have been called for such a time as this. In Him. And in His love. Thea Cleveland.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Thea. I appreciate that. I felt like the people would be blessed to hear that experience you had back then when you had it back in 21. And I was thinking about that as you were sharing. And of course, you know, the storm. You're totally on target of that. And it has to do with trouble, times of trouble and tests, adversity and opposition and judgment, a time of purging and separation and spiritual opposition, all these things. And then, of course, the train is a little harder. And you mentioned that man-made calamities. And it's that. But also, I wanted to share some other observations. And, you know, just to add to that, and you can take it to prayer. And so, you know, the train always usually is has to do, you know, with with a church or a ministry. And so sometimes trains get derailed and not on track. And sometimes these things come against us. These things come against us, and I do believe that this is something that is prophetic, and yet it is also an internal dream and vision for you, a word for you too. So, and I believe that, you know, you went through some of that. You went through some of that, and we are going through some of that right now, all of us. And so I just wanted to add that that part. And I believe that the trains are going to be on track now. And I do believe that, you know, that with prayer, the storms are going to be stifled and these things are going to be attenuated. And praise God, praise God, praise God. So God bless you, Sister Thea. We appreciate you much. You're loved in Jesus' name. Now, could you play her second audio with a prayer request, Chuck?
Please keep my daughter Amanda in prayer. On Tuesday morning, March 26, 2024, she was in a horrible car accident. It is a miracle she is alive. She has a collapsed lung and some other things. She is still in hospital until her lung stabilizes. They inserted a tube into her chest until it is where they want it to be. It is a miracle that she is alive. Her dog was in the car with her. He had absolutely no injuries, another miracle. God intervened and had mercy. The devil is not playing. I told the ladies to keep their families in prayer and covered in the blood. The spiritual ante has gone up. There is much more about this accident and how the Lord did do much. All the EMTs, the police and the towing place all said she and the dog should have died. I praise God. Thea.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for protecting Amanda, Lord. And thank you for through all this that she went through, Lord, that you were with her. The angel of the Lord was with her. And Father, I pray that you would just draw her closer to you now than ever before. And I know that's the prayer of her mom, Thea. And we ask you, Father, that that you would cause that lung to be healed and restored completely. And that the doggy also was spared in Jesus' name. Again, thank you, Father. Thank you in advance for answers to prayer. Amen. Thank you, Sister Thea. God bless you.
Thank you, Thea.
Here's one from Catherine.
You have often said that it is wise to seek discernment from a mature brother in a matter. While I was working on chapter 16, I was pondering whether or not I should take advice from my cousin on a health matter, and I again came across this piece of advice in the chapter. I think this was the Holy Spirit giving me a hint. Who better to ask than you? I have suffered for many years with some health issues. My cousin thought I should try something called LifeWave patches, which she believes will improve my situation. These are little patches using a new technology that you put on daily, and they use the infrared light emitted by your own body, reflected back to the body, to increase stem cell production naturally with the use of some sort of crystal structure. They are not invasive and do not contain any chemicals or substances. But I am leery of things in new technology for many reasons, of which I am sure you are aware. I could send you a link, but I am not searching you out for medical advice. I want to know if you discern in the spirit if this is a thing for good or evil. I do not yet feel confident in my ability to discern all the time. I don't always trust myself to hear clearly in my Urim Thummim. So if it is not asking too much, would let me know what you think. I have other friends who are also interested in this thing, good Christian women, and I'd like to let them know if this is another pharmakia scam. If this is too late for mailbag, any time is fine. Last, I hope you are feeling better. You have sounded like you have a cold for the last few shows. I turned 72 today. Blessings. Catherine.
Yeah, thanks, Catherine, for writing and sharing that. And by the way, happy birthday. A little late, but I do wish you a happy birthday. And thank you for sharing that. I wanted to get back to you on that. I wanted to share some things about this. And in Christianity, of course, there is a lot of ignorance concerning some of these techniques and things that that you talked about and shared. And I have been doing a lot of praying about this in recent years, not just now. In recent years, I have been praying about this, thinking about this, because I think I was discussing this with my daughter not long ago. I was discussing this with her, the fact that the doctors have kind of emphasized too much the chemical aspect, of treatment. They focus everything on chemicals. Everything is about chemical treatment. And take pills, and take this chemical, and take this substance. And so, I would say that 99% of the solutions from the medical world for the body and for people's lives is concentrated and focused mostly on chemicals. And so, there is something here that I think we need to be reminded. And I was talking to my daughter about it because, we have my grandson is autistic, has autism, and all the doctors recommend for him is, pills. And they work, up to a point. But I was sharing with her that there are areas that the medicine and the doctors and science have not explored, areas like light therapy. And I know that when you say that real fast, a lot of people are going to kind of, raise their shield up and say, "Oh, that's new age stuff, whatever." No, why do you say that? Why? And you know, and the more I thought about it, because I am a thinker, I think about a lot of things. I do a lot of research, and I do a lot of praying about it. And I go, like you said, by the Urim Dumin, by what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I hear things, sometimes I don't hear much. But, you know, for example, there is a therapy which I use for my back, and it has helped me, which is, it's called radiation therapy. And it's this kinds of, it uses some stones that get heated up, and they emit this radiation, right? Infrared radiation that really soothes the muscles and the tendons and all that stuff. And it has helped me. And it has not taken the whole thing away, but it has helped me. And there are things like that that are now being developed to help to help people. And so as I was reading this article on this subject that you mentioned, and you know, many times I read things about it to see how it grabs me, and that's many times is how I make, you know, how I receive in my spirit, how some of these things grab my spirit. If you know, and I was reading this article by John Hopkins, Dr. Paul J. Christo, who talked about this life wave phototherapy technology. And and so this, you know, this man, he's one of the preeminent doctors, founder and CEO, Dr. Paul Christo of John Hopkins University School of Medicine, and also talks about he's a very, very, very well versed, very intelligent, very informed young man, and he's considered, according to U.S. News and World Report, he's among the top 1% of the doctors in the nation, and he is in John Hopkins University, and his training there has helped establish him as one of America's leading pain experts. And so I thought, it's interesting. Let me see what Mr. Christo, very interesting. His name is Christo with an H, what he says. And so one of the things that he says in his discussion is that this technology, the ice wave, provides pain relief. And that's all it is. It provides pain relief. And then it reflects specific wavelengths of light that stimulate the surface of the skin. Again, it's about light. It's about things. And, you know, for those of you out there that are not aware or do not realize, you know, our body works on that premise of light. We receive light from the sun, and our cells basically are charged when they receive light from the sun. And we have a lot of our immune system, a lot of our, you know, other organs and so forth, they are charged by the sunlight. And our body works on the premise of sunlight and light being transmitted all throughout our bodies, because light is energy, and light brings health, and light heals. And so, which is one of the reasons why people get sick in the winter when there is no light, there is no sunlight, because the bodies are not able to charge up and their immune systems go down. So there's a lot to that that has been discovered and has been researched in the last several years. And so this technology that you mentioned has to do with patches that are placed in the areas of, you know, pain. And then the own body heat activates the, you know, the crystal inside of the patch, which is a similar technology to what I use for the infrared, you know, for the pain in my back. It's a similar technology. The body heat in this case, the body heat is the one that activates this crystal inside the patch, and then also reflects the light and stimulates the skin to reduce the inflammation. Now, again, this is something that there is no chemical involved. There is no puncturing involved either. there is nothing that goes, that is transmitted chemically into the body. So as far as that's concerned, it seems safe. And the other thing is, according to this Dr. Christo, this technology has undergone extensive clinical research, and this, in fact, delivers various benefits without the use of drugs, chemicals, or stimulants. And then he compares this to other traditional forms of phototherapy, where he says that these patches are not devices that need to be plugged into an electrical outlet. So this is the main difference between these patches and other things that I have heard of before that work with light. This doesn't have to be plugged in. It uses the body on energy. So this is kind of a very interesting. I don't see anything that grabs me wrong about this, Catherine. The proof is in the pudding. Maybe the only thing is to get it, try it, read it, what it says. Because many times, because we don't know what it is, what things are, we are we lack sufficient information about it. Many times the fear of the unknown takes over. Fear of the unknown. Now, I have come across, I have seen some stuff that I have, and people have recommended, and I read, and it just grabs me wrong. It just, I don't feel the peace about it. I just don't feel the peace about it. This is kind of, if I were to catalog it like a green light, which means safe, go ahead, yellow light, and red light means stop, don't go there, it's dangerous, and the yellow light meaning proceed with caution, I would give this a yellow light, because I haven't seen it, I haven't tested it, I don't see it. I haven't seen enough of it to give it a green light, and I haven't seen again enough of it to give it a red light either. And from what I've read, I still don't think it can be labeled a red. So I would just go with a yellow light, proceed with caution, maybe get it, try it, and see what happens. And that's about the best I can tell you, because one thing I do know is that there is new technology now coming out all the time about a lot of things, revolutionary technology coming out. We're not aware of. Things we don't know. One of those things, for example, just quickly, and then, I got to go on because time is ticking. One of those things is one of those technologies and discoveries is the use of oxygen. The doctors have discovered and have found out that oxygen, if used correctly, is an incredibly powerful technology and, to use to combat, cancer and all these things and other. This has come from research done by doctors, not me. I'm no doctor. I'm just telling you what I have read from other doctors and researchers. And so finally, the government has allowed many of these clinics, if you will, oxygen therapy places to, open up, and they are ministering this to people that, could be the difference between life and death. And so, that's just a little example. There are things that are happening, instead of the old traditional way of doing things. There are new technologies that are helping people to, with the pain and with their diseases, instead of having to go the old standard traditional way, which sometimes is not that good. So anyways, I pray and trust that this helped you some. Write again. Always, you're welcome to write again and share questions with us. And we'll try to answer the best way we can. God bless you, Catherine. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Catherine.
Amen. We have one from Pam.
Dear Augusto, I am late in thanking you for your wonderful teachings. I have been listening to them for some time now and also a few years ago sent for your CD teachings. I have struggled with churches. So many do not prepare people for what is coming. You do not hold back and tell it like it is. I listen to all your blog talk radio programs and I am finishing up with your Apocalypse series. I just want to encourage you that there are many of us out here that appreciate you. Forgive me for not writing sooner. Your friend in Christ, Pam.
All right. Thank you, Pam. Appreciate your writing, taking the time to write and share that you have been listening to these teachings. And I'm glad you're getting something out of it. You're getting a lot out of it. And you're going through the Apocalypse series. So thank you for writing and thank you for letting us know, okay? Sharing the kind, encouraging words. Write again. God bless you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam.
All right. Well, that's about it. And I just wanted to say that if you are not saved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're playing with fire. You really are playing with fire, and you need to get a hold of God and repent, and you need to let him know that you're sorry for your sins, that you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and open up your heart and just repent and tell him, forgive me. I messed up. I need you. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I cannot get out of this hole where I'm at now. And there are some people listening that you have fallen in holes, probably because you went ahead and did things and got involved in things that the Lord never told you to do. He never told you to do those things. And so now you are really in a deep hole. And Father, I just ask that you touch these precious people and that you would help them, Lord, and that you would succor them. You would help them, Father, in Jesus' name. And those that are there that are sick in their body with pain, Father, I just ask that you would help them, that you would let them know that you are a healer and that you sent your word and healed their disease and that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there's nothing is too hard for you. And those out there, Father, that are involved in all kinds of ungodly things and occult things and dark things, turn away. Stop and turn away from that. So God has mercy on your soul. So he forgives you. Because I'm going to say something here. I'm going to say it one time. The things that are coming upon this earth, evil and wickedness, is going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. And only God's lambs are going to be spared. Even though some of the lambs are going to be gone as well. But, you need to repent. Some of you need to repent, real, real bad. And you're just postponing this thing. You're thinking that if you just abide time and you just go on a little longer, things are going to change and, things are going to be okay. No, things are not going to be okay until you take the step that I'm telling you to. You got to take a step towards God, and you've got to let him know that you mean it, that you repent, and that you mean it, that you want to change, and you are going to change with his help. So in Jesus' name, Father, I just ask that you deal with the hearts of people. Many of them have been prayed over many times. Many of them have been prayed over healing and deliverance and this and that, and they just want a quick fix, just a quick fix so that they can go on living in sin. And the Lord has basically saying now, it's not going to happen anymore, my son, my daughter. It's not going to happen anymore. You need to turn, and you need to turn now before it's too late. Amen. Well, that concludes that part of the mailbag show. Chuck, you got anything else you want to share?
Yes, I would like to share something concerning what you were talking about, and that is the need for people to repent. I heard a story a while back by a pastor. And I believe he was the pastor who was talking to somebody. He was not saved. He was living a pretty wild life. And the pastor told him, you need to repent and turn from your ways because God is calling you right now. He's calling you to him to accept Jesus and to start living right. You know, live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And the man said, well, you know, I still have time. I'm enjoying life right now, and I'll do it later. You know, the time will come, I'm sure, when I'm ready to do it, but not right now. And several days later, I believe it was, the man was involved in an accident and died, and it was too late for him. So we have to remember that we don't know when we will be leaving this earth. It could be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It could be next week. It could be tomorrow. But for those who are putting off making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, don't put it off because you don't know if you have tomorrow. This is the most important decision you can make in your life because this will determine where you will be spending eternity.
Yeah. You know, there's something, Chuck, that I was thinking about yesterday and today. And, I mean, I am used to walking in danger all of my life, and the Lord has spared me. He has delivered me. He has protected me from dangerous situations many times, spared my life over and over and over again. And many times I just escaped with a minor, you know, consequences. And you know, but the Lord has always protected me because the enemy of our souls, he's after anyone that is serving the Lord. He's after anyone that is trying to serve Jesus with all of his heart, that is sold out to Jesus. He's after anyone that is a threat to his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. And so, you know, another incident just happened this last Saturday. And I'm not going to get into details because I don't want to give any glory to the devil. But I could have been seriously harmed. I could have been seriously harmed. And that's all I'm going to say. And the Lord spared me. The Lord spared me, and he protected me. And then I was meditating about this and other things last night. And what dawned on me was that even when nothing is happening, I am learning. Even when I don't hear any sounds and no one is talking, I'm learning. Many times I learn when I look into the pure eyes of a child without words being said. Sometimes I learned when I sit outside my yard and I see the birds landing in the tree and they start singing. Sometimes I learn when I hear the wind howling and turning chilly in the evening. I learn things. Sometimes I learn just by looking at the clouds and looking at the skies and realizing what a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. Sometimes I learn just by looking at nature, just looking at, see how nature is and operates. And many of these strange thoughts have been coming to me lately. It's almost like I am in a cocoon. Something is getting ready to happen sometime soon. And I feel like I am in a cocoon. And eventually, something is going to happen in the world. And I have a sense of excitement inside of me. Boy, I also have a sense of foreboding. Something bad is about to happen. And so these two feelings collide in me many times. And I don't really know how to react to that. In one side, I am very, very excited, anticipating the things that are about to happen, spiritually speaking, and in the natural. And on the other hand, I am very sad and very overburdened at sensing and seeing the things that are about to take place. the massive destruction that is getting ready to happen, the horrific things that are getting ready to take place, and the evil, how evil this world has become, just like Jesus spoke about, just like the days of Lot, just like that today. Look at what happened with the Biden this last Sunday. Instead of celebrating the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Messiah, the Christian faith, instead of celebrating with the Christians this beautiful day, he tried to steal that from the Christians to celebrate the transsexual day, or in other words, a day for to celebrate the transsexual community and the transsexual banner and the transsexual, you know, on the very day where Christians are celebrating the resurrection of their Messiah. That's wrong. That is wrong. It has nothing to do with whether I agree or disagree with the transsexual lifestyle. It has to do that this man took it upon himself to take away and steal that day, which is once a year, from the Christian people, the believers in this nation, that believe in Jesus Christ, that believe that, you know, in the resurrection. He had the audacity to take that away and turn it into something else, a political agenda. Did not the hand of this man shook when he wrote that and he made that proclamation? Didn't the shudder go through his being? I don't know. I only wonder. So, anyways, Chuck, final thoughts before we wrap it up.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about finding what is coming. It's going that it's both exciting and dreadful because of the destruction that's coming. And just concerning what Biden did, these people like Biden, concerning all of the evil that this man has done, he has no conscience. And it means nothing to them to do anything and everything they can against God and against God's people. They don't care. They don't understand the consequences that are going to face them on Judgment Day. And it's unbelievable to me that people can do such things without even considering the consequences. So, but I would just say to everybody listening, just keep praying. Continuously keep praying, because prayers are very important right now, probably more important than we realize until we get home. And then the Lord is going to show us how a lot of our prayers that we don't even see the answers to, he's going to show the answers to us and say, I'm glad that you prayed for this because they made a difference and look what happened.
Yes. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things because God is still on the throne. And there's nothing more that the enemy would love than to stop God's people from praying, to just make them throw their hands up and say, I give up. I can't do any more. There's nothing more he would like than that. But this is why the Bible calls those Christians that will fight until the end, the overcomers, the overcomers. And so I pray and trust that those of you listening to these podcasts are overcomers. And if you are not an overcomer, my prayer is that you would become an overcomer. Because it is to the overcomer that these promises are made in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. That is the promises to the seven churches in Asia Minor. They are made to the overcomers and to no one else. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Well, folks, we have come to the end of this program. Thank you, Larry, for being with us. And thank you, Chuck, for being with us. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been another edition of the Mailbag Show. Until next time, God bless you. Shalom.